The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. But I like that, all right? It's Wednesday, June 5th. 61 degrees, going to be a hot one, going to be hot over the next few days. And plenty of hot news to be covering up this morning. No, that's covering up is what the national media. I use that intentionally. Actually, some of the covering up is starting to slip a little bit. I was talking with my boss about this just a moment ago about, you know, that the Biden administration is in trouble when the Wall Street Journal finally starts talking about the obvious. Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, New York Times, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of people sent this to me, and I was reading this this morning, too. Behind closed doors, Biden shows signs of slipping. It's 8 pages. 8 pages. When President Biden met with congressional leaders in the West Wing in January to negotiate a Ukraine funding deal, he spoke so softly at times that some participants struggled to hear him, according to five people familiar with the meeting. He read from notes to make obvious points, paused for extended periods, and sometimes crossed his eyes, or closed his eyes, rather, for so long that some in the room wondered whether he had tuned out. In a February one-on-one chat in the Oval Office with House Speaker Mike Johnson, the president said a recent policy change by his administration that jeopardizes some big energy projects was just a study. According to six people told at the time about what Johnson had said what happened, Johnson worried that the president's memory had slipped about the details of his own policy. Last year, when Biden was negotiating with House Republicans to lift the debt ceiling, his demeanor and command of the details seemed to shift from one day to the next. McCarthy said, "I used to meet with him when he was vice president. I'd go to his house. He's not the same person." Okay, you know, so it took what? 3 years of this, 3.5 years of this for some of the major papers and news outlets to start noting this. And by the way, this is Wall Street Journal. People will say, well, it's a big conservative. Hey, business stopped being conservative, oh, I don't know, about 10, 15 years ago once it started going work. You know, Wall Street Journal, the Woke Street Journal is just a little slightly less bad than others, right? It was still, you know, run by the Fox News folks, who are also a little bit, you know, a little bit wokey. You know, they're sitting around there putting up the rainbow flags everywhere, too. Okay? All right. Let's just be honest about this. I mean, Wall Street Journal, you know, big conservative. No, it's not. So yet another one here. So they've covered for the last three and a half years, and now I guess it's safe to come out and actually talk about the obvious. Yeah, thank you very much, Wall Street Journal, Captain Obvious. But we could go into that. It's like 8 pages. 8 pages of those kind of stories, as if we really haven't known at this point. Speaking of the Wall Street Journal, though, there is one story that they put out this morning, which I think is very interesting, and it seems to be indicating a shift in the country, perhaps away from the East Coast dominance, about everything being New York City. New Texas Stock Exchange is proposed, and it's taking aim at New York's dominance. I think this really is interesting. And it's a group backed by BlackRock and Citadel. They want to start a new national stock exchange in Texas. By God, Texas. And they want to take on, as what they see, the onerous regulation at the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ. The Texas Stock Exchange has raised about $120 million from individuals and large investment firms. And they're going to file registration docs with the Security and Exchange Commission this year. And the goal is to start trading in 2025 and host its first listing in 2026. This is really interesting. They're talking about how it is so difficult to do business in New York, in the state of New York, with its onerous regulations, that Texas is looking much better. Interesting trend. May not hear a whole lot about that, but I thought that was very interesting indeed. Quarter after six. By the way, don't worry about any problems in Oregon. State of Oregon has solved all of its problems because latest news release from the Oregon State Treasurer, the Oregon College Savings Plan, now available in 14 languages. Website redesign promotes inclusivity, accessibility, and mobile-friendly, responsive design. they have solved the problems because this is what counts. Oregon Saving Plan, why we would need to have 14 languages for something about, you know, supposedly sending kids to Oregon colleges, I don't know. But this is very, very important, according to the Oregon State Treasury. And so 14 languages, and I'm sure that website will work just fine. Meanwhile, the unemployment website does not work, and people are not getting their unemployment benefits. But what's much more important is that the inclusive Oregon College Savings Plan is doing okay. Ay, 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 okay. Other stories going on this morning. Rogue Valley Times newspaper. By the way, my dog in the fight is I'm a subscriber. I've been a subscriber to the Rogue Valley Times ever since the Mail Tribune went down in flames. And as soon as they started offering subscriptions, I took them on. And it's been kind of okay. It's been kind of not okay. Well, now they're looking for a buyer right now. EO Media Group publishes a dozen newspapers across Oregon, said the other day it's going to scale back publication of several papers, including the Rogue Valley Times. They're going to do this next month in July, and they're going to be laying off 28 staffers and looking for a new owner with more resources. The chain will also cut back the hours of 19 other employees as it's a ratcheting back publication. Now, the Rogue Valley Times, now I don't get the... I never bother with the print. I just subscribe to the online version of it, you know, the digital version. And it's been okay, you know, for the most part. Not maybe as comprehensive as the Mail Tribune once was. But I also understand we're in a different news world, right? And resources are spread very thin these days. But instead of 3 days a week, they're going to be printing 2 days a week. And something tells me that's probably not even going to last long. Heidi Wright, the EO Media chain CEO, this in Oregon Live, by the way, says, we've hit some headwinds. We're doing what we need to do to get financially stable and sustain the journalism. EO Media had 185 employees before Monday's layoffs, which will reduce its workforce by about 15%. So that's going to make it tough. Now, early Monday, Pamplin Media Group announced that it has sold the Portland Tribune and two dozen other Oregon publications to a Mississippi publisher called Carpenter Media. So there's a lot of flux going on in the print and online media world right now. Just keep an eye open for that. Question I will pose for you this morning, given that the Rogue Valley Times is cutting back, the parent company is having some challenges there. Where do you think they've been going wrong, if at all? Because a lot of the stories that they put out are reasonable. There we go. But I'm going to give you my opinion of the Rogue Valley Times, where I think they may have been going wrong, and I'm happy to take your take if you've been paying attention to them. If not, maybe just give me a quick take on it one way or the other. I think they were doing their best to make a very non-controversial paper. And so you end up getting a lot of sports, a lot of mommy and me kind of stories. It's like, what's the latest nonprofit that has opened up? You know, and I swear that's about 90% of what's happening in the business world here in Southern Oregon. Ooh, so-and-so got a grant. Take a look at all the newspapers sometimes and even the television, and you look at what is considered news all the time. Oh, so-and-so got a grant, and they'll be able to provide more services. You know, those kind of things. And this seems to be what counts as news. A lot of times just coming in news releases. But, you know, they try to make it seems like everyone's trying to make it non-controversial. And I remember one of the biggest challenges that I had with the Rogue Valley Times and the EO Media Group over the election cycle was that the same paper that practically would go out and take everything that plopped out of the fevered climate change brain of Alan Journay over at Southern Oregon Climate Action Now. Climate change, climate change, climate change. Guest editorials, this and that. It'd print everything that guy ever, he sits on the toilet and writes a climate change article, sends it off to the Rogue Valley Times, and it gets printed, right? So you have that going on all the time, just my opinion, okay? A hyperbole. Someone was, he wasn't sitting on the toilet. He was sitting in front of the TV. Anyway, when it comes right down to it, though, the newspaper was not doing anything about the election conversation. Tom from Talent has been on this show several times. He would call in and talk about how, you know, he would just want to get something into the paper, into the comment period, onto the comment board, whatever the case would be, about the county measures. Some of the most important, life-changing, impactful news going on in Southwest Oregon. And they wouldn't engage. They wouldn't allow engagement on the issue. That's just not going to work these days. You're going to have to be able to find a way to have some sort of form if you're going to have a community newspaper. You're not going to build your community newspaper on nothing but mommy and me stuff that just as easily would find its way on Facebook. You have to allow some controversy. And maybe they didn't want to get involved in the controversy because the controversy can get messy, and then you think that you have to, you know. Well, I'm sure what's going on here is that most of the left-wing journalists at EO Media Group, they don't want any people like Tom from Talent doing anything that challenges their narrative. They look at the journalism as, we're going to tell you what we think is important, and that's all we're going to tell you, good and hard. Those sort of things. And I'm thinking that the level of subscription has probably started reflecting that. Say what you will about the defunct Mail Tribune. Saslow was doing his best, in my opinion, to take that left-wing journalism, Titanic ship of state, and just steer it a little bit to... just, hey, let the sides have at a little bit more. Ultimately, he wasn't able to make that pencil. But I have to give him props for trying to do that. And then finally he said, the hell with it, and shut it all down. By the way, I wonder what he ever did with the Mail Tribune archives. There's a lot of news in there going back decades. Wonder what he did with that. I don't know. I have his email address. Maybe I'll write him sometime and ask him about it. But I think where the EO Media Group had the opportunity to do what Saslow was trying to do, but finally kind of ran out of time and patience and or money, you know, to do it, they just started off, hey, okay, we're going to do a non-controversial kind of thin gruel paper, and we're not going to do as much investigative journalism. And some of their best stories have been the investigative journalism. But the challenge with investigative journalism is that it costs money. It costs money. You know, you're not going to give it to the 12-year-old that just got out of journalism school who has absolutely, you know, no clue where the bodies are buried around here in Southwest Oregon. So ultimately, will the Rogue Valley Times survive? I don't know. Maybe it's going to be at some point where it's going to be the Daily Courier and the Oregon Eagle, Richard Emmons, monthly at this point. That'll be it. I don't know. I hope not. I like to see a lot of different papers doing their best out there. So, you know, even though I'll criticize what the newspapers do from time to time, I also understand their role, their necessary role. But the economic forecast for them has not been real good. Printing dead trees has been tough to make money on lately. Ask anybody that used to put out magazines too, right? 24 minutes after 6, I appreciate you being here. This is the Bill Myers Show on KMED and 99.3 KBXG, the Jukebox.
Hi, Jason with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros with more spring savings. Right now, purchase a set of 4 qualifying Yokohama tires through June 15th and get up to a $100 rebate. Get an additional $50 when you purchase with your Tire Pros credit card. There's 14 different tires to choose from, including Geolander AT for your truck or SUV and the Avid Ascend LX for your passenger car. So stop by or call for details to save right now on quality Yokohama tires exclusively at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
Are you buying or selling a house this year? Here's a tip from Grants Pass Water Lab. If you buy or sell a property with a well, Oregon requires tests for bacteria, arsenic, and nitrate. Don't let this slow you down. Get your well tested now. Grants Pass Water Lab offers next day results for bacteria tests and a speedy 3 to 5 days for the full reporting that meets all the state requirements. Online at gpwaterlab.com. Independent and serving the Rogue Valley for more than 40 years.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art SnapLock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today, get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
The Joe Pag Show.
They really made a mistake, in my estimation, by having Donald Trump sit in the courtroom in Manhattan for weeks and weeks and weeks. He was able to go out to the cities, to the areas, to the neighborhoods, shake hands, take selfies, take videos with people. What's interesting to me is how those on the left are trying to denigrate the chances of Trump in New York. They usually wouldn't even mention Trump in New York because he had no chance. The fact that they're mentioning it and responding to it, they're scared to death.
Evening 6 to 8 on KMED.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Barkley with American Rental Garage, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
627, appreciate you being here. 770-5633, Wheels Up Wednesday with Eric Peters. He'll be on in just a few minutes. And one of the biggest pieces of news about the EVs coming out now, and it has to do with the crushing loss of resale value on used EV vehicles. In fact, we're now starting to see as much as 30% plummet in value after the first year or so. Whoo, depreciation. I thought my Chrysler depreciated a lot when I drove it off the lot back in 2010. Oh, man. But anyway, I'll have that story and a bunch more. Also, the other interesting wrinkle which is going on about the electric vehicles right now, besides people now starting, even, and once again, the media that has been covering up for the electric vehicle scam agenda being pushed by the Biden thing and a bunch of other folks, of course, the gangrenes, is that most people still are not looking to buy them because of lack of charging stations. And then when you do find a charging station, like a Tesla supercharger in California, there were a whole bunch of them. The copper thieves are out there stealing all of the wiring out of it, and then, well, there you go. You know, at this point in time, people aren't stealing the gasoline pump nozzles, but you know, over in Tesla world, yeah, the superchargers are being vandalized routinely, given the insane boost in the cost of copper, just so you know, okay? Other news going on here. KOBI 5 reporting yesterday. Josephine County workers rallying for fair wages and benefits. Tuesday afternoon they did this. It's Ask Me, Local 3694. They were outside Ambassador downtown. And the group claims despite multiple proposals, the county has not yet adequately addressed the union's key demands for better wages. The union's proposing a 14% raise. Now, they'd spread that over 3 years. Also, a 6% PERS contribution. So they want the taxpayers to pay for their retirement, too, and increased medical premium contributions. President of the union, Keith Gibson, says the over 200 people the county employs deserve a livable wage. Josephine County employees have been passed over for raises for a few contracts now, Gibson said. We're also about 10% behind what inflation has done over the last few years. Keith, hate to say it to you, but join the club in the private sector. That's the way most of us have had to deal with life, too. But I understand you're a public employee, so there's different rules, okay? Gibson says their picket was planned for the same time as the Josephine County budget meeting in hopes of receiving more attention from and getting more information out to the public and the county commissioners. Wasn't Herman talking about that yesterday, Commissioner Bearchicker, on here, how everybody wants more? And at the same time, the actual income going into Josephine County is 11% less than it was a year ago. You know, counties have been living on a lot of that grease, that sopping up that grease, all of that coronavirus-era money that was still, you know, plopping out of D.C. into their guts there for a while, and that's all gone. And now we're back to reality. So in expenses going up 15-20% and the income going down 11%. I'm just going to say here, Keith, if you're listening, God love you. But I would dare say within a year from now, we're going to find out how many of those 200 current Ask Me employees are going to be laid off. I think that's going to be the reality facing Josephine County, given those numbers. I'm just saying. I mean, you can ask for a 14% raise all you want. But, of course, you know, the union people, maybe they're okay with that, all right? If we have 200 Ask Me employees in Josephine County or 400 in Jackson County, whatever it is, go ahead. We'll get it. We'll want a 14% raise, and then they will cut 30% of the workforce. So the remaining people end up getting more. You know, I've seen that before. They would rather see that and fewer workers. It's because the union cares about you. It's a 6:31. KMED 99.3, KBXG, the jukebox. This is the Bill Myers Show. Wheels Up Wednesday continues after Town Hall News.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley, owner at American Rentier Garage, a full-service auto repair shop. We get numerous questions that begin with, hey, do you work on? So to put it simply, if it's between your license plates, we probably work on that. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRentier.com. Stop by Biddle Road, right across the street from Elmer's, or call us at 541-499-6673. American Rentier Garage, we are united through service.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate, and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. No injuries in an attempted attack on the American embassy near Beirut, Lebanon. A gunman said to be a Syrian national was shot and wounded. Ratcheting up the pressure on Israel, Slovenia has now recognized a Palestinian state. Spain, Ireland, and Norway previously voted to recognize Palestinian state. After presiding over an influx of more than 10 million illegal aliens into the country over the past few years, President Biden says he's taking action aimed at addressing the border crisis. Republicans dismiss it as mere election year politics. And President Biden is in France, there for ceremonies marking the 80th anniversary of D-Day. The water supply situation in Atlanta finally getting back to normal after crews worked around the clock in recent days to fix a series of water main breaks. The opening bell sounding on Wall Street, the Dow is up 79 points. More details, srnnews.com.
This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and retirement savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing these schemes. Real patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is and fight back against the system. Now, with the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k may be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas into our Election Protection Report. You definitely won't hear any of these in the mainstream news. Get your free copy of our Election Protection Report now. Just text TRUTH to 76626. Plus, today you'll also get a free gold investment kit from our sponsor, Augusta Precious Metals. Text TRUTH to 76626 now and get the free report and gold investment kit. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text the word TRUTH to 76626.
Standard text and data rates may apply.
Drake's Paint and Supply, your only locally owned paint store, is growing. Drake's is excited to announce a new store opening soon in South Medford that will offer the same top quality Benjamin Moore paint and stain and all the equipment and supplies the North Medford and Grants Pass stores offer with the legacy of service and value Drake's is known for. Drake's Paint, your local Benjamin Moore dealer in North Medford, Grants Pass, and soon to be open in South Medford between Central and Riverside, just north of where the two combine.
Here's Lisa with Kelly's Automotive Service for just-in-time appliance.
Recently, a small part went out on our dryer at home. My husband ordered the inexpensive part to fix it. 3 months and several wrong parts later, he agreed to call Just-in-Time Appliance and Repair. A couple days later, I had a working dryer. Just-in-Time Appliance have always taken great care of all of our appliances with honest service and fair prices. Don't wait. Just call Just-in-Time Appliance and Repair.
Just-in-Time Appliance. Online at justintimeappliance.com.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Always appreciate you listening, no matter the time. Live 6 to 9 weekdays on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KBXG. I'm here for you. But life has a way of getting busy. So if you miss a show and you want to catch up, or you just have a different schedule, well, that's what my podcasts are for. The last 3 months or so of my shows available for free download and sharing on KMED.com or BillMeyerShow.com. Podcasts are sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They're helping keep you current. Find out about their services on ClouserDrilling.com.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
Welcome back to the Bill Meyer Show, 106.3 KMED.
6:36, heavy fuel, and it's Wheels Up Wednesday. Eric Peters joins me from epautos.com, automotive journalist, overall great guy. Eric, how the heck are you in today's fake and gay world is what your top story. And I started laughing just as I started going into this. And what was your take overall on that? Give me a thumbnail. We got a lot of other things to talk about this morning, too.
So desperate to instill some personality in these lifeless battery-powered appliances, that is, electric vehicles, that they are doing things like generating fake engine sounds, fake shifting, and now fake clutches. GM has applied for a patent to make its EVs in the future appear to have a clutch. Of course, there is no pedal, and there's no actual actuation involved. It's just another simulation, and hence fake and gay.
Okay, so a fake clutch. So you're accelerating the device, right? You get into your latest General Motors or whatever it is vehicle, and you hit the accelerator, and then there's like a jerk of some sort, like you were shifting?
Yeah, that action, you know, that in and out kind of a sensation, and then a pretend gear change.
Oh, okay. All right. Boy.
And didn't we grow out of that stuff when we hit puberty?
Well, it's sort of the General Motors version of the card, you know, taking the playing card and putting it in the spokes, right?
I mean, I can see a six-year-old, you know, pushing his little Tonka toy truck and going, rum, rum, rum.
Yeah. But you see, that also shows then that driving is not just about, they're starting to find out that driving is not just about the box that takes you from point A to point B. There's a visceral experience that is also part of it. And I think they're starting to realize that people are missing that, I guess. Really?
Oh, absolutely. It's a critically important thing to a lot of people. Not everybody. Of course, there are people who don't care, who just view a car as an appliance, like a microwave or a dishwasher, and they don't particularly care. Nonetheless, there is still a large chunk of the car-buying population that wants something that's not just an appliance. And, you know, they're having to figure out a way to appeal to those people. But how to do that with a battery-powered device, I don't think that's something that they can fix.
Yeah, especially when you're having to pay $50,000 to $60,000, you know, anywhere between $40,000 and $60,000 for the battery-powered device.
Yeah.
And you're looking for more of a, what do they always say about younger generations are looking for the experience right now? Not always things.
Well,
the
sure.
Experience.
And I can tell you, you know, as somebody who has test driven a number of these things, that irrespective of the price, fundamentally they're all the same. Same experience. You get in, there's no noise. Mm-hmm. You turn it on, you know, like you would turn on your phone, and you push down on the accelerator pedal. It's obviously not a gas pedal anymore, and it moves. And that's pretty much it. You know, some move more quickly than others, but essentially they are all the same, and that's why they're about as entertaining as a corpse at the slumber room in the funeral parlor.
But there's been a real push to take all the fun out of driving for several years now, and I think we've now reached kind of like peak take the fun out, and now they're having to try to find a way to put some back in?
Well, sure. You know, all of these perverse incentives, you know, on the one hand, they still nominally have to try to sell cars, right?
Right.
So, I mean, until people are forced to buy them, which probably will be the next thing, they have to figure out a way to make them appealing on some level, and at the same time, they're having to try to deal with all of these government regulations that have taken all of the emotional appeal out of driving cars. So, you know, it's a really tough and perplexing thing for them, and I feel bad for them.
Yeah, I do too. But this is what happened when you decided to bend the knee way back. In fact, you can even take this back all the way to the 1970s, with Richard Nixon when the EPA first came in. Now, I have to tell you, we did have some problems that were able to be taken care of when it came to pollution with the Clean Air Act and the Environmental Protection Agency. You and I both remember the days of what it was like sitting behind every vehicle and you would smell, you'd have the smell of raw gas, unburnt fuel, right? You know, we got
that. Absolutely, but I think the fallacy there is that those problems wouldn't have been solved absent government intervention. I take issue with that.
You do?
I think when there's a problem, it tends to get solved because people don't like problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so at some point we would have been just pressuring the automakers to say, hey, can we, in other words, fuel injection would have come just because it was cleaner, just for that reason.
And more efficient. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm getting a new Mustang to drive after this Ram truck goes back, and the Mustang's base engine is a little four-cylinder engine that makes 315 horsepower and gets 33 miles per gallon on the highway. Now, if you go back to 1964, 65, you know, the year the Mustang was introduced, the V8 didn't make that kind of power, and it used twice the gas.
Yeah, so needless to say, we've done very well. And that's why I'm saying, oddly enough, ironically, for all this conversation we've been having about the challenges within the industry, in many ways, the cars have never been better or more efficient.
And they could be even better. You know, the thing that worries me, we can get into my review of the Ram 1500, the 25, that's up on the site right now. As you probably know, we've talked about it. They had to get rid of the V8 that used to be available in that truck,
and they ended up putting in, it's a new inline six cylinder, right? Not a V6.
It's a great engine, lots of power, doesn't use any more gas, and I give them tremendous credit for developing this engine. But I think what they don't quite understand is that the same pressures that forced them to take that V8 off the market are inevitably going to be used to force them to take this six off the market too.
Maybe this
never
is
never enough.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's never clean enough. It's never efficient enough. The only efficient enough is that you need to be walking and then taking the bus. That's really where they ultimately want to take this here. Now, except it'll be like the former Soviet Union, in which the nomenklatura, you know, they ended up being able to, you know, they had their little, what do they call them, the Zill limousines and all those things like that.
That's why I think it's really important for the auto industry as a whole to push back against this. And one way that they could do it is to explain to people that new vehicles have been clean in terms of any meaningfully harmful pollution for 30-something plus years.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
They don't understand it. Most people have no idea. You know, they hear that, well, the latest regulation is going to reduce emissions by 25% or even 50%. And that's technically true, but it's a fraction of a fraction of a percent's difference.
Yeah, in other words, it's like a tiny amount of pollution then gets reduced by 50%, and then everybody acts as if that is a major, major reduction in the overall, right?
That's right. And I wish they would put the money toward PR firms, advertising, all of these things to just get that word out to people and to go around the government and explain it. Because if they don't, they're going to continue to get pushed and pushed and pushed to the point where all they're able to sell are these battery-powered devices.
Eric, what do you think about the head of Toyota going out there on practically an apology tour? It was like I don't know how much more that guy could have bowed over the last few days. You remember that story about he was bowing about apologizing over the cheating on the test or whatever it was. What are you thinking about that?
You can't comply your way out of this stuff, and you're not going to win an argument by agreeing with the premises of your opponent. Toyota and also I think Subaru and Mazda recently announced some new engines that they're developing that are going to burn these e-fuels, carbon-neutral fuels, and they don't get it. They don't understand that they will never be able to satisfy these people because the agenda is to get people to start driving, if they can afford it, a battery-powered device, and that's it. Not engines. Doesn't matter how clean they are.
Eric Peters with me, epautos.com. If you have a question or call or just want to call and comment on something that we've been talking about, or if you have a issue involving a vehicle that you have or have a question about a vehicle that you're thinking about getting, the number here is 770-563-3770-KMED. I want to talk about that Ram 1500 review here in just a minute, and along with some other things here too. 770-5633.
Two Dogs Fabric.
This is the Bill Myers Show.
Wheels Up Wednesday with Eric Peters, automotive journalist at epautos.com. It's Wheels Up Wednesday, like we mentioned. And Tracy is down in Central Valley? How hot's it going to be in the Central Valley in California today, Tracy? Welcome to the show.
And thank you very much for letting me on the air today. It's going to be 103, and we're looking for 105 or 106 degrees tomorrow.
God bless the Central Valley. What did you want to tell Eric this morning? Interesting story.
So, this is California, and we had the governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, and we've had the governor now, Newsom, but now we have another governor, and that's the speed controls on the cars that the California legislature has now apparently passed, and this will make it so that there will be automatic throttling of your vehicle if you do exceed the speed limit. Now, I drive the German car, so I have sign recognition, okay? So if I'm driving in, say, a 45-mile zone, and my car sees a 25-mile-an-hour school zone, it's automatically going to pick up that 25-mile-an-hour sign and let me know that its speed should be 25. Even though it's a school zone, that may not be active. Mm-hmm. So what happens now in this new scenario where we have an automatic governor that will throttle our cars down to a slower speed? We could be going up and down, jerking our speeds, and could be the law of unintended consequences. This could be a very dangerous situation.
Interesting.
Well, it's meant to be a very annoying situation. The legislation, which I think goes into effect beginning with the 29 model year, it's not so much a throttling back as a persistent annoying chime or ding at first. It's an audible warning that will emanate from your vehicle if you drive, I think it's 10 miles an hour over whatever the limit is, wherever you happen to be driving. But inevitably, if you accept that premise, oh, it's dangerous to go faster than whatever the speed limit is, they're going to go beyond warning, and that's when they're going to take the next step, which will be throttling the car down, as the caller says, which will make driving completely frustrating, and that's exactly what they want. They want to make it frustrating so that people won't want to drive anymore.
Of course, maybe the vandals will just start going after all of the signs, Eric. What do you think about that, Tracy? You think that might work?
Actually, that is a problem already. Now, my car does have that feature where the steering wheel will vibrate when I exceed the speed limit, but I have to proactively set that value to turn that feature on the car.
And there's nothing wrong with having that feature. I could see why you, like, I remember even back in the 1960s, a Buick Wildcat my grandpa had one of those things in which there was a little chime that would go off. You would set the speedometer, you know, so that way.
Purely mechanical.
Yeah,
now, the thing is,
exactly.
This is electronic nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing to understand is that you don't have any control over whether it's activated. And you don't have any control over your throttle either. You know, most people don't know that when you push down on the accelerator pedal, all you're doing is feeding data to the computer that then translates that into how much the engine should rev to give you the road speed or performance that you want. And if the programming decides, well, no, you don't, you know, you're not allowed to push it down faster than so-and-so, then that's what the computer will do, and that's how fast you'll be allowed to go.
All right, so Tracy, hopefully you're going to be able to survive that. Maybe we'll all have to move to Texas at some point. I don't know.
may we live an interesting time.
Well, we are there, my friend. We are there. Boy, Eric, that's really interesting. Before we get back to some of the calls, I wanted to get your take briefly here on the Ram 1500, because you talked about the six-cylinder engine part about it, and you're still saying that they're not going to be able to comply their way out of future restrictions. But overall, what was your impression of the Ram?
Oh, it's a brilliant truck, you know, and the engine's even more brilliant. It's only 3 liters, as opposed to the previously available 5.7-liter V8. So it's roughly a little bit, about half the size, a little bit more than that of the old engine. Makes 420 horsepower now in its standard power output configuration.
420 standard out of a 3-liter six-cylinder. That's pretty darn good, actually.
Yep. How about 540? That's the HO version.
Wow. I'm afraid to ask, though, how many turbochargers?
Two.
Oh.
One for it's designed to give you immediate throttle response, so there's a turbo for each of the three cylinders, and they're snugged up really close to the exhaust ports. And the engine performs wonderfully, and it sounds great. You know, I like the V8. I like the rumble and the bass sound of a V8, but the 6 is a more sophisticated sounding engine, and that's appropriate for this vehicle because you get the new tungsten trim all decked out, and it's a close to $100,000 vehicle.
Wow.
And probably people who are spending that kind of money don't want a vehicle that shakes and rumbles.
Yeah, the one thing you can say about an inline 6, has there ever been a nicer, more naturally balanced vehicle, right, as far as the engine goes?
Right.
It's very smooth.
And it would be great if this developed naturally. Let's say it were an option on the high-end version of the truck, and the V8 were available for people who had a lesser budget, let's say. That would be great, and that's what the market would have done probably if left to its own devices. But Stellantis, the parent company of Ram,
and Jeep and Chrysler had to figure out a way to reduce the emissions of carbon dioxide.
Oh, my gosh.
The way they do that is taking a smaller engine, because a smaller engine has less cylinder volume than a bigger engine. And so when it's not under boost, a decreased volume of gases pass through that engine.
So this is all about passing the unboosted carbon emissions type thing. Okay,
right. And they make the power by you push on the gas to get it to go, and now you got boost, and that makes the power, and that's great. So it satisfies what the buyer wants, and it satisfies what the government demands. The problem is the government demands, as we were talking about earlier, never end. Mm. And so eventually the six will be too big. And then what are they going to do? Go to a four-cylinder, and after that they're going to go to a Briggs & Stratton lawnmower engine, maybe.
Maybe they could do a little better than that. How about that three-cylinder Justy engine they had in the Subarus back in the day, right?
Sure. I mean, it's self-evident at this point. You ought to be able to see that the end goal here is not to clean up emissions, it's to get rid of engines.
Yeah, and to get you into a bus. That's it.
Yep.
It's 6:52 at KMED, KCMD. The great thing about Wheels Up Wednesday is taking your calls, and so you can just weigh in also. Hi there, who's this? Good morning, you're on with Eric Peters.
Hey, Bill, it's your friend Brad. Good morning to you.
Brad, welcome.
This Eric Peters guy, I tell you what, he's wonderful. He's wonderful. Love this guy. So I'm in the construction industry. My dog in the fight is this. This is all part of what we all know is the impoverishment of America. They're making the average common person pay more and more and more for a product that they absolutely need. They're working longer. The products that we're buying are not lasting as long. They're more expensive to maintain. You know, I just got through doing a job with a guy who's a concrete contractor. He bought a low trim vehicle just to use in his work. Bill, it was $80,000. $80,000 for this low trim vehicle, diesel powered vehicle that he needed to do his work. 20 years ago, that vehicle would have been maybe $35,000.
Maybe.
But what your guest is talking about is, not only are they making these vehicles less affordable just for the average guy on the street, for the professionals who make our living providing products to society, they're making these vehicles so expensive to the point that it's increasing the overhead exponentially, that our people have to charge to do the same job that we used to do for much less money.
Well, now, Eric, I just so you know, Brad is the head of the Builders Association of Southern Oregon, so he's always dealing with builders and contractors and things like that.
Absolutely right. You know, I've got a number of friends who are contractors, and, you know, to take it one step beyond that, if you get into over-the-road trucking, some of the mandates that apply to diesel over-the-road trucks, and now this pushing of battery-powered, electric over-the-road trucks, it is going to drive the cost of shipping anything through the roof, to the point where shippers can't afford to ship anything because people can't afford to buy what's being shipped.
Do you think there?
Eric is absolutely right.
Now, Brad, is there some point where that a lot of these people that are in the trades just won't be able to work, just can't work, can't afford to actually do this any longer?
Well, as you and Eric have talked about before, these regulatory increases, what they're going to do is they're going to wash out all the smaller contractors that can't afford to pedal their bicycles fast enough to keep up with the compliance envelope. So what you're going to have is a very small number of extremely large contractors that are building everything, and the people are just going to have to pay these incredibly inflated. I mean, if you ever, I heard Eric say this pickup is a $100,000 pickup. $100,000 used to buy a house, for Pete's sake.
Yep. So yeah, and that's a half-ton truck,
by the
way.
This is all about...
Okay,
you get into a 2500 or a 3500 that's for work and see how much that costs. And by the way, think about a guy who's got, say, a lawn care business and needs a vehicle that can haul a bunch of lawnmowers and so on. The cost of doing that now is becoming so prohibitive that, as the caller says, it's going to get to the point where we're going to have a few big conglomerates that do that, and for the average homeowner, it's going to be so prohibitively expensive they can't even afford to pay for the service. And so that, in turn, is probably going to force a lot of people to get out of their suburban house or out of their country house and into a 15-minute freedom city.
Oh, yeah, the freedom city. Gotta throw up on my mouth a little bit on that. Hey, Brad, I really appreciate the call, and like I said, he's keeping an eye out for these contractors that are part of the builders community here in Southwest Oregon. Let me go to line four. Hi, you're on with Eric Peters. Who's this? Good morning.
Morning, Bill, Bob, and Medford. Good morning, Eric.
Bob.
Hey, I had an old 64 Dodge D100 slant six with a granny four speed. I could get 18 miles per gallon out of it on the freeway and get up to about 65. What if we took those older engines and paired it with the newer eight speed tranny? What would our MPG be?
Well, you don't even need an 8-speed. You know, I did something like that with my old muscle car. I've got a 76 Trans Am, Pontiac Trans Am, that originally came with a 3-speed automatic without an overdrive. I put an overdrive automatic, one overdrive gear in it, and now the thing gets gas mileage that is astonishing for what it is, given that it's got a 455, a 7.5-liter V8 in it. I can get, you know, 20-something miles per gallon out of that thing on the highway.
Really? Because you just because you have the V8 just loping. Right.
Yeah, because it's got a 0.067 overdrive gear in fourth. Fourth is overdrive. So the RPMs at about 65 are a little over 2,000. And, you know, that really makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. So I'd be curious to see what some of those old trucks would do here, Bob. Mm-hmm. That'd be fun. Yeah. Good project. You want to try doing that? Doing one of those?
I don't have the Dodge truck anymore.
But, you know, it's actually quite doable. One of the nice things about older vehicles is that you actually could, you know, put a part in it, including a big part, like a transmission or an engine from another vehicle. As long as it would physically bolt up, you could do that. In my case, the transmission is from an 80s-era GM vehicle with the same bell housing pattern. It literally bolts right up. You can't do that anymore because of all the electronic interfaces. Everything has to be paired and matched to the vehicle.
Very good. Hey, Bob, good hearing from you. 770-5633. We're on with automotive journalist Eric Peters, epautos.com. By the way, Eric, I just want to let you know that, you know how when you do those reviews, you'll have your GoPro or whatever it is.
It's not even that. It's even more low rent than that. I wish I had a GoPro.
Okay. I don't know what you use to do when you're on
the road. Something cheap that I've had for years.
Okay. Well, something cheap there. I'm going to mimic what you do because you'll do like these 0 to 60 type things. You'll show the acceleration of something. Mm-hmm. And now that I have the Vanagon back on the air, back on the road rather, I'm going to do that and send it to you just so you can see what a 48 horsepower vehicle from 1982 diesel can do from 0 to 60. And
it'll bring back some fond memories of my 74 Super Beetle.
It will take, I would venture that if I take it out on I-5, it'll probably be more than a minute to get to 60. The speedometer is inaccurate, so I have to do 62 miles an hour is actually 55, so I'll have to do it, get it up to about 70, and then we'll be there, okay?
Yeah, with that thing, 0 to 60 and top speed are roughly congruent.
Pretty much. That's the top speed. Let me go to line two. Hey, you're on with Eric Peters. Good morning. Who's this?
Hey, it's Joel.
Joel, take it away. What's on your mind?
Gate down at the pond is a mud puddle. How are the state troopers going to make any money if they can't go speeding down the road?
That is an excellent question. Eric, if California is going to do all of that, we're going to slow your car down for you. How do they get the revenue? What do you think?
Well, they just simply ding you for every attempt. You know, like let's say that you drive faster than whatever the speed limit is. Immediately, that's taken note of because, after all, your car is connected. So all of that telemetry, just like back in the Apollo program days, is being transmitted. So the insurance mafia could very easily know of every single instance of you speeding and also braking too fast and, you know, making a turn without signaling first and whatever you want to think about, all of those things. And, you know, you could automatically have your account debited for each infraction.
So in other words, Joel, the state will not give up. It's a stranglehold on your wallet, okay? Appreciate the call. 770-5633. I think line four might be for you. We'll find out. Hi, who's this? Good morning. You're with Eric.
Yeah, this is John.
John, go ahead.
I had my beautiful old 63 Dodge Power Wagon out yesterday, cruising along with my slant six, and it purrs just at a certain RPM. But anyway, that isn't why I called. I have a Kia, and I was up north, and I was on cruise control, and it saw the sign, 65 or whatever it was, and the traffic was generally going 75-80,
mm-hmm.
and I was in a middle lane to be sort of safe, so I had to drive manually because it would shut down the cruise control.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's annoying.
Oh, in other words, you had that kind of camera thing. It sees the sign and then would
yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and some of the, you know, some of the adaptive control systems won't let you step up.
Okay, oh, yeah, hold on just a second. You're talking over each other. What did you say there, John? And then I'll let Eric respond to that, okay?
Yeah, if we put dual turbos on the old Slant 6, that'd be something else.
Okay, all right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Isn't the bottom end would take it.
Yeah, thanks for the call there, John. Isn't that interesting, though? You know, a Kia, very modestly priced car. You know, it now has that. Right?
Well, they all have essentially the same electronics. You know, this began in the higher end cars where, for example, they had what they call adaptive cruise control. So it's not just dumb cruise control that you set your speed and that's how it goes. You know, this will work with the speed limit detection or sign awareness or whatever the marketing term is that they use. And if the speed limit is higher than the speed you try to input, it won't let you do it or it'll break off the cruise control. Hmm. Now, it can be overridden, but, you know, they're sending you a Sicilian message. They're telling you that they can control your car. People really should get hip to that.
Yeah. It's a nice car. Be ashamed if something happened to it and made you slow down or else we find you there.
Yep.
You know, I think about, I wonder what's being lost. Well, I don't have to wonder. I think I know what's being lost in a society. And I know that people are talking about, try to follow the law. You know, the law. Yep. You know, the law and the rules and, you know, all this kind of stuff. I remember as a teenager in the 1970s, and yes, I drove fast. I drove really fast, Eric. I would routinely be 100, 110, 120 miles per hour on the back roads of Ohio, in rural Ohio. 69 Cadillac, 1970 Monte Carlo, you know, it was driving at that time.
We felt like 200 in that car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think about that. I said, no, was it wise that I did that? No. Did I survive it? Thank goodness I did. I, you know, kind of got smarter, you know, about that over time. But there seems to be something amiss in a place that calls itself the land of the free that is getting ready to completely shut down and micromanage its sheep to that extent.
Well, yeah, you notice nobody uses that term anymore. When was the last time you heard somebody say it's a free country?
Well, you almost say it's a free country sarcastically, I think.
Yeah. You know, this is the consequence of the general acceptance of what, you know, I and some others call safetyism. And there's no end to it. You know, the only end to it is when you're in the ground. That's the safest place of all.
Sure. Yeah. And nobody can complain.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Eric, we'll grab one more call, and then we'll probably have to bid adieu for now. We'll talk about what you're going to review for next week. Lots of stuff in there. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Hi, Bill. This is Deb calling.
Deb, take it away.
Hey. So none of this is a big surprise to me, considering Jeff Soros himself, I believe, owns Progressive Insurance, or at least he used to. This is all going to be a big concern with the insurance companies, especially after they run out, as many of them as they are, over wildfire and stuff like that. It's going to be hard to get insurance, and even more so if this car thing were to take effect. And, you know, it reminds me of that old movie Demolition Man, where the gentleman's walking through town. It's like in the future, and he says a swear word, and this audio thing picks it up and prints him a ticket. Boom, one demerit. Yep. Next thing, one demerit, you know. It's going to be like that.
Absolutely.
We're going to get
That's
all these
gonna
in
happen.
The mail.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just Progressive. I refer to the entire industry as a mafia because that's what it is. It's acquired power through the government to make you buy their service. And having acquired that power, they can make you pay essentially whatever they say. You know, what are you going to do? Say no and then go to another family in the mafia and try to get a quote-unquote better deal? You might get a somewhat better deal, but you're still going to pay through the nose.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yeah.
Hey, Deb, I appreciate the call, and thanks for making that. And before we take off, Eric, I wanted to give people's attention to another great article in there called The Psychology of Devolution.
Yeah.
All right? And I still receive emails from people who, and I don't read them on the air, but they're the ones that I would call the QAnon cult.
Yeah.
The QAnon
rebranded
type.
Now.
Yeah. And the QAnon, you're right, they are rebranding. And people who I know and I've respected have just, you know, sucked from this teat now ever since January 6th and even when President Trump first started having time. In other words, the whole idea of there are white hats in charge behind the scenes that are doing everything possible President Trump is the real president right now, and and everything that he's doing right now is theater just to bring out the evilness of the deep state, et cetera, et cetera. And And I don't know where this is coming from, but, you know, when they're talking about adding more mental health services in the state of Oregon, I think a lot of the people going there will be the devolution cult here within the next few months. I mean, break that down where you're coming from on this, huh?
Please. Well, you know, we live in what I call an era of disbelief, and to an extent that that's reasonable, because we've encountered so many obnoxious lies that it's no longer possible to, on the face of things, trust what you hear, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've become suspicious, but the flip side of that is believing anything that sounds appealing, and it sounds very appealing to a lot of people to think that good forces are in control. You know, that this whole thing with Biden and what's going on with the federal government, all of it is going to come to an end because Trump is behind the scenes and the military is behind the scenes, and they are organizing things for a gigantic crescendo of justice and judgment.
And boy, I would love that. I would love that if that were true. A fella can dream, right?
Sure. But, you know, when you talk to these people, you point out a particular fact and they'll either evade it or they'll rationalize it or they'll justify it in some way. And you just can't get out of this rabbit hole that gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And the thing of it is, there is a degree of plausibility to it. But you then have to kind of pull yourself back and say, well, you know, the facts, as opposed to what we wish the facts were, tell a very different story.
Well, I remember in January 6th time, right? And January 6th would come, and then people would write me, that's okay. That's okay. Trust the plan. President Trump will be restored in June, or then it was July, and then it was November, or whatever it is. It's like, no, you don't get it, okay? And I would dare say, ultimately, if we were to ever get to the bottom of this, that the QAnon and the devolution cult kind of thing is one of the most successful CIA government-run psychological operations ever, I think, honestly.
Well, I agree, because I think to some degree, at least, it has kept people who might be actually out and doing something to try to correct what's going on passive,
yeah,
and watching videos and mm-hmm. reading articles and thinking it's all going to be swell. We just have to wait for devolution to evolve.
Uh-huh. Right. Don't think so, all right? It's 8 minutes after 7. Great talk, as always. And who are you going to talk to or review next week, or which vehicle? What do you got?
Oh, we've got a great one coming. A Mustang is being dropped off for me tomorrow when the Ram 1500 goes back. And as you probably know, the Mustang is going to be the last man standing, which is kind of fitting, because 60 years ago, in 1964, the Mustang came out, and it created the pony car segment. And then there were a bunch of others that came because the Mustang was so successful, everybody needed to get their own pony car out on the market. Well, it's going to be the last one very shortly. Of course, the Challenger is gone, and the Camaro is soon to be gone. So the only pony car left standing will be the Mustang.
All right. Looking forward to it, and I'm sure it'll be a fabulous interview, as always, when we talk next week. Thanks, Eric. Be well.
Thanks, Phil.
EPautos.com. 9 minutes after 7, we ran long, but there was a lot of good stuff to talk about, right? This is KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford. 99.3 KPXG, Grants Pass.
Dreaming of moving.